أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May the peace and blessings of Allah be unto all of you. And also welcome to our class for today. Today, inshallah, we shall be discussing the prophets of God. We will take a look at who prophets of God are. Is it obligatory on us to accept prophets of God? I believe, as Muslims, due to the fact that the Holy Quran has extensively spoken about the messengers of God, the prophets of God, and also with guidance from the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I believe that Muslims have a lot of knowledge and idea about who prophets are. For non-Muslims, I have had personal encounter with a lot of people that if you ask questions about prophets of God, they know just few of them. And even those that they know, they hardly could say much about them as to exactly their purpose of being sent by Allah, the Almighty, for mankind. The Holy Quran makes mention of this topic, and at many places. I'll be reading from chapter number 16 of the Holy Quran, verse number 37, where Allah the Almighty has stated, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةُ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Translation of the verse I recited, as I said, taken from chapter number 16, Surah An-Nahl, verse 37. Allah the Almighty says, And we did raise among every people a messenger, preaching unto them. That is, worship Allah, worship God, and shun the evil one. Then among them were some whom Allah guided, and among them were some who became deserving of ruin. Allah says, So travel through the earth and see what was the end of those who treated the prophets as liars. This verse speaks a lot. First of all, it gives us the information that to every people, Allah the Almighty has sent messengers, prophets. This is not the only verse in the Holy Quran which makes mention of this. So as Muslims, we believe that every people, no matter where they resided, during whichever time, Allah the Almighty sent messengers to them, prophets to them, to communicate his message to them. Now, the first question I would like to treat is, who are prophets? Prophets are the finest of people at the time, particularly the people that the prophets are raised among, in terms of piety, ethics, and also the love that they have for others. Prophets actually demonstrate the practical interpretation of the commandments or the laws that Allah the Almighty gives them to be passed on to His creation. So we can say that prophets have been sent to every people, whichever race they might be, whichever corner of the world they might be, with a purpose to spiritually nourish them, give them that spiritual nourishment. Just as Allah the Almighty has taken care of the universe in terms of our physical needs by creating the sun, the moon, the sea, in fact, the entire universe, which provides us all that we need for our physical nourishment without fail. Allah the Almighty has also not neglected our spiritual side. So from time to time, irrespective of where people lived, whether they were in a remote cave, whether they were, on a remote island, Allah the Almighty sent messengers to them to communicate His message and the purpose for which they have been created to them. We all know God, and we have accepted to worship Him because prophets of God played their role that Allah the Almighty assigned them, that is to communicate to us who God is and what God expects from us. According to the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, he says there have been about 124,000 prophets of God that Allah the Almighty has sent to different places at different times. The Holy Quran makes mention of only 25 of them. And of course, there are quite a number of them who have been mentioned also in the Bible. Every Muslim believes in all prophets, and we accept all prophets. So the Holy Quran says that we should not make any preference or distinction between them. This is a very important point to know, that there are people who receive their prophets. Some of them were given books, but then the fact that they were not able to protect their culture and also their civilization, those documents and those teachings were lost. So as a little island that Jamaica might be, based on what the Holy Quran says, it is clear to believe that Allah the Almighty might have sent several prophets to this island with the passage of time. There are people who were also able to preserve their tradition, their civilization, and they happen to be among those that we have their documents, we have their scriptures, we have the laws that their prophets brought to them. It does not mean that they are the only people that God Almighty sent messengers to. Allah the Almighty, just as He has not forgotten about the air that we breathe, the vegetation, the food, the sunlight, equally, He is not forgotten about our spiritual needs. Now, let's look at the teachings that these prophets brought. The messages that the prophets brought to those places at different, times, they were of two categories. Some of the messages were universal. That is, they constituted messages that almost all the prophets, irrespective of where they were raised, they shared that simple message. Among them being the unity of God, the oneness of God. Loving our neighbor as we would love them to treat us. So, and then also the need to worship God only, and also to shun idols, idol worshiping. So these messages, if you look at all the people that we have some kind of records about the messages that their prophets brought, you will see that these messages, it runs through almost all of them. Now, there are some other messages or teachings that were only peculiar to that people regarding their behavior, their societal evils, the things that they were doing which was against God's command and even against themselves. So a person or people living in far off Australia may be engaging in something that people who were living here in Jamaica, let's say 10,000 years ago, were not doing the same thing, which means that apart from the fundamental teachings or law, which talks about God being one and the need to worship God, avoid idolatry, and all those kind of things, the other teachings may differ based on their behavior and also the need of their people. Now, as I said, all these prophets, they gave a hint in a form of a prophecy about one major prophet who would come at the latter days. If we go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him, also gave this same message about a prophet who would come in the latter days. He says, God says, I will raise them up, a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, that is like unto you, Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Again, this is in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. We believe that this prophecy is in reference to the final law bearer, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because after Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him, no other prophet has come with a book claiming, or with a book in that form, which claims to be complete word of God. Now, if we read from the book of Matthew, chapter number 3, verse 11, because I know sometimes some non-Muslims might assume that this reference in Deuteronomy is referring to Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ also came, he also made a similar prophecy that I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. So he was also talking about some other person who would come. And then he said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. After Jesus Christ, the only major prophet that has come with a law, complete law, which claims that every bit of it is the word of God, is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the question is, are we obliged to accept these messengers of God? And if we don't, what is the consequence? The fact is that yes, we are obliged to accept all these messengers, those that we know and even those that we don't know. And if we reject any of them, then God Almighty has a severe warning for doing so. Let's see the continuation of that verse. As I read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you go to verse number 19, God Almighty says, speaking to Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him, he says, it shall come to pass that whosoever will not listen or hearken unto my words, which he shall speak, that prophet that we're talking about, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. This is the next verse after the first one, that is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 19. Now remember, here he says, the words that he shall speak in my name. There is no book, Even before this, commandment was revealed or given to Prophet Moses, there is no other book which begins with "in the name of God," as it has been stated here, like the Holy Quran. Every verse, every chapter begins with "in the name of Allah, the gracious, the merciful." That everything that this book contains is purely the word of God, the Almighty. Now, the Holy Quran also says, "Waman yushakiki rasula min ba'di ma tabayyana lahu al-huda wa yattabi' ghayra sabili al-mu'minin nuwallihi ma tawalla wa nuslihi jahannam." Referring to those who disobey and who blatantly reject and oppose the messengers of Allah. He says, this is in chapter number 4, Surah Nisa, verse 116. "And whoso opposes the messenger after guidance has become clear to him or her and decides to follow a way other than that of the believers, we shall let him continue to pursue the way that he is pursuing and shall cast him or her into hell. That is going to be an evil destination." So yes, we are obliged to accept the messengers of Allah, and failure to do so, there is a consequence. Just a few days ago, I think one Muslim scholar was preaching publicly, and there were Christians, basically non-Muslims and Muslims alike. So he asked them, among them, those who are Muslims, they should show by hands. And all the Muslims showed by hands. And he asked them, among those Muslims who have showed by hands, how many of them believe in Prophet Jesus Christ? All of them, their hands were still up. Now he said, okay, put your hands down. And those who are not Muslims also show by hands. They raise their hands. How many of you believe in Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And their hands went down. Now there is a great disservice that some people are doing to themselves when it comes to choosing between which prophets to accept and which one of them to reject. Allah the Almighty, in His wisdom, sends a messenger to you, and you decide that I would accept A and B, but then I would not accept C and D. Now, as to the consequence of rejecting messengers of Allah, we have a lot of examples. Those who oppose the messengers. If I wanted to, list 100 of them, I could easily get from both the Bible and also the Holy Quran. We have before us the case of Pharaoh, who opposed Prophet Moses. And not only Pharaoh, but then also those who followed him, how they were destroyed. Another case before us is Prophet Noah. May Allah be pleased with him. Those people who rejected him, who did not pay heed to the messages that Allah the Almighty gave him and also the warning. We know what their ends were. We know of Prophet Lot and his people, Sodom and Gomorrah. We know what happened to them. And we know of the leaders of Mecca who rose against the messenger of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know what their ends were. So when Allah the Almighty says in the first verse that I recited from chapter number 16, verse 37, he says, "So travel through the earth and see what was the end of those who treated the prophets as liars." We have these examples before us. Now, another angle that I would like to take is the categories of prophets that, according to Islam, we know of. There are basically different categories, but then we know of two, at least we can speak of two. In terms of rank, Allah the Almighty says, among the prophets, some he has raised above others. Say, Tilka Rusul, Fadalna Ba'aduhum Allah Ba'd. That these messengers we have raised, or I have raised some above others. And then also, in terms of law, we come to know that not all these prophets were given law. Some were given laws or commandments, but then others only came to complete or to teach the laws that existed before them. So we have few prophets that we can make mention of based on how their scriptures were preserved. Prophet Abraham, may Allah be pleased with him, was given a book called the Scrolls of Abraham. I am not sure as to how it is now, but then it is a common knowledge that we know that Allah the Almighty gave him a book, which was, I mean, a law, which was written down. And then also the Torah of Moses, may Allah be pleased with him. And you would notice that when I mention the names, or when every Muslim mentions the name of every prophet, whether they are found in the Bible or in the Holy Quran, we always revere them with a blessing and also dignity that may Allah be pleased with them. We also know of the Psalms, which we call the Zabur of Prophet David, may Allah be pleased with him. And then also the Injil, the gospel that Allah the Almighty gave to Nabi Isa, Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him. Of course, that Injil, the gospel, is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are accounts that his disciples are narrating about him. But then his actual teaching that he gave, which he bore testimony to, which is called the Injil, I am not sure as to how many of that content can be found in the existing Bible of today. Now, one thing we also know is that prophets, despite the messages they brought, after their demise, these messages either got truncated, either people, deliberately distorted them to suit their own personal weaknesses, or accidentally, due to weakness in their understanding, they changed or forgot about those changes or those laws, and by so doing, ended up introducing new ones which the prophets have no clue about. This cannot be blamed onto the prophets of God. They came, they discharged their duties as human beings. They had to leave this world, and they left those messages, those commandments, in the hands of their followers, who were supposed to protect it and practice it to the letter based on how they were given. Unfortunately, with the exception of the Holy Quran, which continues to be as authentic as it was revealed 1,400 years ago, all the other scriptures have suffered this kind of impurity, if I should say. I have said it many times that as Muslims, we believe in the Bible, but then we believe in the core teachings that God Almighty gave to the prophets for them to communicate. Those are the ones that, as Muslims, we believe in them. If we study the Bible completely, we find out that everything in that Bible cannot be said to be the Word of God. Of course, there are some components which still remains the words of God. Like, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. The Ten Commandments, we know and we believe that they are still as authentic as they are. And again, they are also found in the Holy Quran with the exception of the Sabbath. And I believe one time we will find time and, talk about that topic, the Sabbath, why it is not applicable of all the Ten Commandments. Now, as I said, we believe that a portion of it still remains the word of God, but then there are some portions of it which are not directly the word of God, but the words of the prophets of God. In Islam, the words of the prophet of God are not added to the Holy Quran. So in most cases, you hear us call or you hear Muslims quoting the hadith, that is the oral narrations of the Prophet Muhammad, those things that he said, which had been recorded and, tabulated. This is not part of the Holy Quran. But then in the Bible, what we find is that the words of the prophets of God, which are not the direct law that God gave them or the direct revelations, they are also found in the Bible. Now, that is the second category. There is also a third category, that is the disciples and the followers of those prophets. Their words are also found in the current Bible. For instance, Matthew is narrating an incident that happened over some time, and those are also there. Then we have people like Paul, who was not a disciple, who was not a prophet, writing letters. His letters are also in the Bible. And then we have the fifth category, those that we don't know anything about them. They have written, penned certain things in the Bible. So these are the categories. But then we cannot blame all this on the prophets. If there's any blame, it will be on the disciples. Now, another crucial point when it comes to prophets is that do prophets commit sin? This is a very important and, crucial subject, subject to discuss. Do prophets commit sin? Initially, I stated that prophets are the most perfect among the people that God himself prepares to bear that burden of prophethood, which is the highest spiritual status. And these prophets are not only refined spiritually, but then also ethically, morally, they are, refined. So with these kind of people, Islam teaches us that they will not and they do not commit sin. And when we say a sin is different from mistake. Sin is when you deliberately go against the command of God. But then, as being human beings, prophets can make mistakes. That is a very important point to understand, that they can make a mistake like all other human beings. They can forget, but then they would not commit sin, going against the very teaching that God has given them to be passed on to the people. Now, if we study the Bible, in fact, when I was preparing this speech, I was shocked, though I have known some of these things for years, and I keep reading about them. But then the more you read about them, the more you get the shock of your life. Several allegations have been leveled against messengers of God, prophets of God, which find themselves in the Bible. That if the Holy Quran had not come to clear the messengers of God, even those found in the Bible, if the Holy Quran had not come to clear them of these charges, myself and billions of Muslims would have been thinking the same way as other people also think, that these messengers, unfortunately, God forbid, had some questionable characters. Among them, Prophet Noah, who in Islam we call Hazrat Nuh, His Holiness Nuh. We know the story when, I don't want to go too deep into the story, what happened, how, but then we know that he was a perfect man among his ranks. Now, if we read from the book of Genesis, chapter number 9, verse 21 to 25, it says, "And that perfect man, the messenger of God, who God gave him, that teaching to guide the people, he drank wine. Not just by drinking the wine, but then he drank the wine and got drunk, intoxicated, and was uncovered. Basically, he was naked in his tent. So look at a prophet of God, God forbid, drinking wine. And this is the first portion, I mean, the first time wine is mentioned in the Bible. We're looking at Genesis chapter 9, verse 21 to 25. And it had to do with, God forbid, a prophet of God, that he drank wine, he got boozed, and he was naked in his tent. And what follows is even shocking. His sons went to find him in his tent naked. And then one went to call the other. They came and then covered him. Now, when he became sober, God forbid again, he cursed his younger son who covered him and saying that he will always be a servant under the other brothers. Now, if this is the person whose spiritual and even character is such questionable, was the person that God found fit to be his prophet, then definitely it is an insult to the institution of prophethood. As Muslims, we know that this could not be true, because we know very well that during the time of the prophets, there are oppositions, there are enemies who always would want to destroy them, to kill them if they could, and even destroy their reputation, to destroy their message. They leveled a lot of accusations against them even during their own lifetime. So given the circumstance that there weren't any form of protecting any records, anybody could throw anything anywhere for it to be entered into the scriptures. Again, Hazrat Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, that is Prophet Abraham. The Bible says that he was a liar. In fact, a messenger of Allah, who Allah the Almighty says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا, that Allah the Almighty took Abraham as a friend. And I think it is also referenced in the Bible that Abraham was the friend of God. And Allah the Almighty speaks against lies. But his best friend was a pathological liar, yet God kept him as his friend. Now, if his friend could be a liar and God would not bother, then that gives us, or that should give us, the green light for us to also lie. And God should not have any issue about it, because his friend was even lying. He could talk to him directly, but then he did not. These are things that are said about the messengers of Allah. Prophet Lot, who is called in Arabic as Lut in the Holy Quran, in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 35, 36. It is so sad that a prophet of God could be disgraced in this manner, that the prophet Lot, the one whose people were engaging in homosexuality, that God used him to warn them, and failure to obey his commands, God destroyed them. What the Bible is saying about him, God forbid, if true, is even dangerous than what the people were doing, which he warned them. And I believe you are aware, if you read from the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 35, 36, it mentions that he impregnated not one, but two of his own daughters. Can any rational thinking brain reason around this, that a prophet of God, who is supposed to be the most perfect of his time, have what cannot be described as his sons or his grandchildren? As Muslims, we know that these things are lies. And some of these tales cannot find themselves in the Holy Quran. Prophet Dawood, who is called David, his case is also to another level. All these are allegations, lies that have been peddled about messengers of God, in the Bible that if a person who is, seeker of truth, a seeker of righteousness, a person who wants to become clean, spiritually and physically, if you chance upon these kind of, statements in the book of God, so to say, that messengers of God were doing this, there is no motivation for you to do better. That's the difference between Muslims and the difference between the Holy Quran and the other scriptures. Now let's see. Prophet Dawood or David in 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1, just from the beginning, read up to 25. Prophet Dawood, God forbid, was, he woke up, he was on his roof. He was a prophet of God and also a king. Now, he was walking on his roof, according to the Bible, and then he sees a beautiful lady bathing. And that beautiful lady happens to be the wife of his general, I mean, his general, his army commander. That did not frighten him. He fell in love with the lady, sent for her, had intimacy with her. The lady went back and told him that I have a child now. At that time, according to the Bible, the husband who was fighting for the prophet and his kingdom was on the battlefield. So what, according to the Bible, he did was to send for the general to come home, possibly to go and have intimacy with the wife so that there will be some kind of confusion and then, the paternity of the child will be labeled onto the man. And when the man came, the general came, for some reasons, he did not go home to sleep. So the pregnancy could not be attributed to him. According to the Bible, Prophet David had already gotten himself seven wives. But then he fell in love with this woman, and when that happened, in order to cover it, he sent a letter to the second in command for the general to be killed. So first it was adultery, and second, murder. And the child was born. And who was that child? Solomon. That's what they are telling us. And Solomon also became a prophet. And for that matter, the most, I mean, wisest person according to the Bible, biblical record. If you learn this and you think that this can let you be a better person, that is a joke. And Solomon also, we know what he did, of course. I mean, what the Bible is saying, 300 wives, 700 concubines, or, I mean, the other way around. So these are things that have been mentioned about the messengers of God in the other scriptures, which as Muslims, we know that it could not be true. But then, because the book, the Bible could not be protected, all these things have found themselves in, as I said, even including letters of people who were enemies of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the question that people always ask. How will we know whether this prophet is true or is false? Yes, of course, there are people who have claimed over the years to be prophets when God has not commissioned them to be one. And again, we will go back to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20 to 22. Now God said to Prophet Moses, "But the prophet," that is in quotation, "which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." So this is in the hands of God. If a person claims to be a prophet and Allah the Almighty, God the Almighty has not commissioned him, it is the duty of God the Almighty to kill that person, not to even survive and create confusion among the people. And we know that even governments, imagine a person, an imposter, who pretend to be an employee of the government or an official of the government, goes to places and trying to dupe people, scam them. When the government comes to know of it, they take swift actions. This is, something that the Prophet Messiah, Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has mentioned, that how could God, who is the all-knowing, allow a liar who is claiming to be from him, and God knows that you are not from me, and then God again gives such a person triumph, victory, prosperity, for him to establish a community of, people. That would not happen. Now, God continues with Prophet Moses in verse number 21 of chapter 18 in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, "And if thou sayest in thine heart," that is, if you say in your heart, that how shall we know the word which is the Lord's, and that, I mean, which the Lord has spoken. That is, if you find yourself in between doubts as to how you would know whether this word is from God, or this prophet is from God, this one is not from God. God says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, it is a thing that would have to follow. That is something that will come true. Again, he says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follows not, nor comes to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. This is, old-fashioned English. So basically what it's saying is that when a person who claims to be a prophet, or even a commissioned prophet, if he says something and it doesn't come true, prophecies he makes don't come true, you should know that this is not something that God has, given him to say. But the prophet that speaketh presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. That is a prophet or a person who presumes to speak and those things that, you don't have to be afraid of them. So basically the clue is given. Now, Allah the Almighty has also said something in the Holy Quran. He says, describing the Holy Quran, he says, "Tanzilu min Rabbil Alameen." This is a revelation from the Lord of all the worlds. "Walau takawwala alayna ba'dal akawil." And if he, the messenger of Allah, had said something, had attributed something to us, which is not from us, la akhadna minhu bil yamin, we would have held him with our right hand, summa la qata'na minhu al watin, and we would have severed, or we would have cut his life artery. Basically to say that I would have killed him. Again, the Holy Quran says, the first one is chapter number 69, Surah Al-Haqqah, verse 44 to 47, where he said that if the messenger had said something that is not from God, he would have ended his life. He would not even have let him live that long to establish a community, even to produce a book. Now, the Holy Quran, chapter number 4, verse 83, Allah the Almighty says, "Afallah yatadabbaruna al-Quran," that do they not ponder over the Quran? "Law kana min indi ghayrillah lawajadu fihi ikhtilafan kathira." That if it had come from any other source other than Allah the Almighty, they would have found a lot of, disagreements in them. So Allah the Almighty is asking those who have doubts about the origin and the source of the Quran, he says, would they not then ponder, think about the Holy Quran? Had it been from anyone other than Allah, they would have surely found therein much disagreements. We have spoken about the prophecies of the Holy Quran. There are many things that the Holy Quran has made mention of, quite a number of them. There is a lot that if you want to know, we would be able to, find out. If you go to alislam.org, there are a lot of information. Alislam, Alislam dot org. It is the official website of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. There is a lot of information that you can get. And if you want to learn about Prophet of God, you know, there's a lot that we can get. But what is important is that God the Almighty would hold each and everyone accountable as to how we are paid attention and we respected and accepted the messengers that he sent to us. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rasulullah.